Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot. And also, at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
We're back. Welcome back into College Golf Talk. Steve Burkowski, Brentley Romine with you. I think we got thrown off, Brentley, the Ryder Cup. You were in Rome. I was prepping for the blessings in Arkansas. I think it's just sort of knock away from us, but that's all right. We're back, and I feel like we're in a good spot to run the rest of the fall campaign out. But hope you enjoyed your trip abroad and sipped on some good red wine.
You know, Burko, I did, and I think that just speaks to just how close we've gotten over the couple years of doing this podcast. Is that we didn't even text once last week. I think you and I both knew. We were both busy, that it probably wasn't going to happen. We didn't even talk about it. So I think that's actually a good thing, because we're on the same wavelength.
Exactly. That's the innate mental aptitude that 5,000 miles away, you were doing your thing. I was doing my thing. We knew we would reconvene. Just got off the plane back home from Fayetteville and the blessings. We'll talk about that. We've got a lot of golf going on. You've got a special guest joining in just a little bit, back end of the pod. Give us a little teaser what we're gonna hear from in about 15-20 minutes.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one. A couple weeks ago we had Christo Lamprecht from Georgia Tech. Now we get the guy who beat him at the Ben Hogan Collegiate this week, and Vanderbilt senior Cole Sherwood. So one of my favorite kids to cover in college golf, just because he's always got a smile on his face, and his parents are the absolute best. So I'm interested to kind of learn more about him, because I think he's really really interesting, and he's had some ups and downs, and you know, I always like those stories about guys who can sort of claw their way back and get back in the winner's circle after, you know, maybe a year or so out of it.
So you're going to want to hang around, catch that Brentley and Cole Sherwood coming your way in just a bit. Before we get to the results of what we saw firsthand or from afar, shall we say, quick update on Spike Mark. We sort of went down that rabbit hole a few weeks ago. The new scoring system, website, implementation, call it what you want, that is somewhat been taken over the mantle, if you will, from Golfstat, but they've run into some problems. What have we learned in the last couple of weeks?
You know, I think that's the understatement of the year, is call it what you want. You could really call it just about anything at that point. But I have learned that October 15th is still the target date for the first Spike Mark ranking. And I think, Burko, and I know you'll agree with me, but I think that's a big date, just because if they roll it out and the ranking is good and they have all the results in there, I think maybe college golf can breathe a collective sigh of relief. But if there's issues, if data is missing or is inputted incorrectly, or there's issues with the ranking, you know, a bad situation could get worse. So I'm very much looking forward to October 15th.
You read my mind, because being the, older curmudgeon that I am, don't say October 15th if it's not ready. Say November 15th. Say December 15th.
Into the fall, you know?
I'm rooting for everyone, but it better work 10 days from now.
you know,
if you're going to say it, if you're saying the rankings coming out, or at least the plan is,
I am on board with you, Burko. I think at this point you need to make sure that the data is in there. Give yourself a few weeks after the end of the fall, because you're still trying to play catch up, and you got 10 more days until October 15th. That's a lot of events. I mean, we're not just talking about Division One; we're talking about Divisions Two and Three as well. And if you go on SpikeMark's site right now, there's a lot of tournaments that are in there, but you go to Division Three Women's, and almost every other tournament's missing. So I am still very concerned. But like you said, we're all on the same team, and we're all rooting that this thing works.
Back from the Blessings Collegiate Invitational, fourth edition, put on by John Tyson, whose commitment and contributions not only to Arkansas men's and women's golf, but college golf, quite simply makes it all possible. Loved my time there. Obviously, we were frustrated with the weather on Wednesday. Couldn't control it. We sort of knew it was coming. There was the window, tee times bumped up. It wasn't going to happen. So they reverted back to those 36 hole scores, and similar to 2021, clean sweep across the board. Arkansas men, Arkansas women getting the job done. Let's start with the men.
Yeah.
Good victory for Brad McMakin for a team that looks very different than what he's had for the past few seasons. And how about John Driscoll, the 4-year player at Northwestern, transfers in back-to-back rounds of 68. I'm intrigued. I'm not saying they're going to run through the tape at the end, but I feel like the last couple of years, you and I were waiting for that veteran-laden team to do something in the postseason, and it just never materialized. So maybe the team that you're not expecting much from is on to something there in Arkansas.
It always seems to work out that way. But yeah, I think this, you know, has the potential to maybe be the most challenging year for Brad McMakin as a coach, just because you go from a culture that you had built for 4 or 5 years with the Julian Pericos and the Mateo Fernandezes. And now you have to not really mishmash together, but you got to bring in some transfers. You bring in some younger guys, you know, John Jr., John Daly's son, John Daly the second, he's getting some play, you know, and so you have to manage kind of maybe the expectations on him trying to live up to what his dad did in the sport. So there's a lot of different, a lot of different layers, I think, to this team. But I tell you what, it's really important to win at home. If you don't win at home, I feel like it's a huge hit to the confidence. So they did what they needed to do. And for John Driscoll, when you're trying to be one of the leaders of this team, I think this is maybe one of those moments where you really feel like, you know, hey, I get it done. I got all these Arkansas fans cheering me on at home. Like, I really feel like I belong. Let's go out and have a good season. And so I think Arkansas is going to build off this. I don't know if they're as talented as they were a year ago, but I mean, I wouldn't count them out in terms of making some noise in the conference and perhaps sneaking into the NCAA championship.
Yeah, Jacob Ullis, another transfer from TCU. Thomas Curry, a really good freshman. Manuel Lozada has been there for a couple of years. So maybe it's a different recipe for success for head coach Brad McMakin. We'll see how that plays out in the fall and, more importantly, in the spring. On the women's side, Arkansas winning the team title. Individually, Maria Jose Marin, 16 birdies, 36 holes. It is very early in her career. I'm going to go on record and say we have now seen maybe the next star in women's college golf. She can be that good.
That's high praise, but I think the void is certainly there now that Rose is no longer playing for Stanford. But I talked to Brad McMakin via text an hour or so ago, and I asked him, I'm like, hey, just how good is this freshman that Shauna has? And he's like, she's extremely good. And he sent me a text of her wear patterns on one of her wedges. I think it was a wedge. It could have been a 9-iron, but it was tiger-like. It was right there in the sweet spot, worn down, runner up at Pebble Beach, now a win. And also beating perhaps a player who many think is the best player in the women's game, or at least maybe a top three player in Julia Lopez Ramirez from Mississippi State, to beat her by 3 shots. I think this is a statement. I think this could be the launching point for in a few months' time, us talking about Maria as the Annika Award winner, potentially. I know that's ways away, but I mean, if we don't start talking about it now, when do we start talking about it?
Yeah, prisoner of the moment, seeing it firsthand, delight to speak with, ultra confident, so much skill.
Pound for pound, probably one of the best players I've ever seen. I mean, she's
16 birdies and 36 holes at the Blessings. That's all I have to say. I mean, it was 1 week, but you mentioned Pebble. Two good weeks. Let's see what she does moving forward. South Carolina women disappointed, 24 shots back. They weren't 100% health-wise, no excuses. Two talented freshmen from France in that lineup. I got to see Hannah Darling step up and lead this team. Two-time first-team All-America selection. She's great. I need to see her go out and win 2-3 tournaments this year and let sort of the rest of the team piggyback off of that. That's what happened in Arkansas. We also had the Windy City Collegiate. A lot of good teams there. And how about UCLA changing to the guard with coaches? Maybe this is something we will see more often when you win by 9 over Northwestern. Oregon, Texas, Duke, Wake, all right there. Competitive field. Intriguing to see what the Bruins take from this moving forward.
Yeah, this is just another one of those loaded events in women's college golf early this fall. And I don't know, Berko, it's a shame more people can't follow it easier because of this whole spike mark drama. But I mean, you go from the Annika and you see all these teams kind of beat up on each other, and then to the Windy City, kind of in that Midwest area as well. And this is surprising. I mean, I think to see UCLA and Northwestern 1-2 on this leaderboard, when you look further down with the USC's and Auburn's and all these preseason potential NCAA title contenders, to go out and beat those teams even this early, I think it silences a lot of doubt, maybe not just from people like you and me or people outside the program, but I think within some of these players. I mean, you look at a Zoe Campos and a Caroline Canales, like they've gone through a lot in their college career. I mean, they no longer have the coach who they committed to, although you could argue that, you know, promoting Alicia Holmes, from the assistant into the head coach, you don't really lose that much there. But there's just been a lot of kind of ups and downs with this program, and especially on the men's side as well. And this is a big deal. I think they should be very proud of this. And I mean, we've been looking for UCLA the last few years to kind of be one of those teams that could go out and win a national title. They've got into match play before, but I don't know. I mean, this just gives me that maybe little bit of confidence that they could actually go out and make the top 8.
Yeah, then you look at USC, Arizona State, Auburn, Virginia, Iowa State. Didn't have their best week. You take it for what that is. I'm not sure which team I might be most concerned about, because for the most part, coaches are trying to see, okay, how good are these newcomers? Has everyone come back from the summer improved, ready to go? Is there maybe a hangover of a busy summer schedule? So I'm not here in early October ready to say red flag alert. But I don't know. I always keep circling back to Virginia. I think a really good, really solid team. By the end of the spring, they're going to be anywhere from 9th to 17th in the rankings. But I don't know. Maybe I just want to see more from that program each and every week.
Yeah, you just like to see a little bit more depth behind Amanda Sandbach, because eventually, and she didn't have a great week, T46, but eventually when you rely too much on your number one player, they kind of get worn down toward the end of the year. And even if things are going great, we've seen it before. I mean, you get to regionals or the NCAA championship and your number one player isn't quite firing on all cylinders, then all of a sudden the alarm bells ring for everyone else. So I'm with you. I'm a little bit more concerned about Virginia than everyone else, but I'll mention USC just for a second. I mean, when you're a program who's coming off a national runner-up finish and you go up and you win your first event of the fall, you just can't finish 9th in tournaments. And I don't care how tough the field is, Amari Avery can't be finishing outside the top 25. You can't only have one player inside the top 20. I mean, this is a program that needs to go out, and if they don't win every single time, they at least need to be in the conversation. So I think this is one of those weeks where I think Justin Silverstein is going to rally his team. He might say, all right, there's a few more hours of practice this coming week for you guys to try to find something to try to get it together. Maybe a little bit of punishment after, after a poor showing. But you just can't have that happen if you're a team like USC that's expecting great things this year.
Hampton's intercollegiate at Maidstone up there in New York. Alabama wins by 3 over Ohio State. Nick Dunlap had, call it a 12, 14, 15 footer to shoot 59. Burns Lipped the right it. Edge. Gets a lot of that hole. Becomes the 18th player to shoot 60. And I'm going to give a shout out to one of our colleagues, Lance Ringler. He says every year, this is the year we're going to see 59. We already got a 60 in women's college golf from an NC State player, Leon. And then Dunlap had that look there. Fun to watch from afar. Saw some people shoot some video, but Dunlap doesn't win.
I know. Lost by one shot to UCLA's Luke Powell. I don't know. I guess this it kind of takes a little bit out of you, maybe a little bit of disappointment that you literally come millimeters from shooting a number like that. And to be the first guy to potentially do something like that, I think that's a big deal. So I know Nick Dunlap, with as competitive as he is, he was probably kicking himself that night. So maybe that's just, comes out the next morning, and it's hard to back something like that up anyways. But I think it's more of a testament to Luke Powell playing well than anything Nick Dunlap did, because even go back to the final round that he shot at the SEC match play last week, 63 to beat Gordon Sargent in a really loaded field of SEC talent. He's on the top of his game. So a little disappointing, the 18th player now, right?
18
to shoot 60. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's one of those things where there's some sort of curse or something that's preventing this number from being shot. Cause it seems like in professional golf, now that the seal's been broken, it's kind of coming every other year. So, I don't know. Maybe there's something there. Maybe there's a reason.
Have you witnessed any of those 60s in person?
You know, I did. I think I did. No, you know what it was? I was at the Golf Week Program Challenge the year before. Tomas Anderson, who is a great player from Jacksonville State, he won that week. But then the next year, Preferred Lies, he went out and shot 60. So my former colleague, Julie Williams, was there for that to write that up. But I have not witnessed any of them. Have you?
Were you
out there for Paul Casey or?
I'm not that old. Bryce Mulder, I'm going to say 2000 or 01, Palmetto Dunes, Hilton Head, had a similar length putt, if memory serves, maybe a touch longer. Felt like it burned the edge. He shot 60. Then it just jumped into my mind, and I believe the total was 60 at the end. NCAA's Golden Horseshoe, Williamsburg, Virginia, 07, Michael Schachner from Duke. I'm almost certain he's on that list.
Yeah.
Had a look at 59 on the final green as well. So I'm good for two in person. And one day maybe we can both collectively say we saw the first 59, man or woman, in college golf. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Fighting Irish had their yearly event up there at Notre Dame. Good win for Tennessee. Head coach Brennan Webb, couple of guys, 2-3 on the leaderboard. Another
super,
one of those
super fan, super fan Brent Packard. Also,
yeah, well, when we were excited, we were monitoring. I think Tennessee 10 under that final day. Another program that if Bryce Lewis can keep this going, I'm intrigued to see what they could do in the spring.
Yeah, it's always nice to have not one but two studs, right? I mean, I think it goes back to, we may have addressed this a few pods ago, but talking to, I think it's Bruce Hepler from Georgia Tech, saying like the formula for a great team to win a national championship is you have to have at least one first team All-American. You have to have a guy who's second or third team, and then you have to have a guy who's honorable mention. And Tennessee right now, they might not have the honorable mention guy yet, that third piece, but they might have the potential to have two first teamers. So, 66.66% of the formula so far. We'll see what Tennessee can do moving forward.
You referenced the SEC match play that happened when we were on a one-week hiatus, if you will. Auburn, impressive in stroke play, beat Vandy in the final. You talked about Dunlap, Sargent, 1-2 in that individual leaderboard. It makes you wonder, is Auburn, obviously they're very good. Are they that good or maybe the best team in the fall right now?
It's easy to be the prisoner of the moment for this. And when you look at the talent and add in a freshman like Jackson Koivin, I'll tell you what, Nick Kleiner's got a lot of horses in his stable right now. And so to beat Vanderbilt, not only by 13 in the stroke play in Birmingham a week and a half ago, but then to go out and beat them 3-2 in match play too, I think that solidifies it. And then you have Vandy edging North Carolina by 1 at the Hogan just a couple days ago. The math kind of adds up. I know the Golf Week Sagarins right now have North Carolina at number 1, but I'm curious to see once Lance updates and with the Hogan Collegiate results, if that changes at all. But, Auburn a couple years ago was really hot in the fall, held the number 1 position for a decent portion of the early part of the season, but still trying to get in to that top 8. So, I think that's clearly the next step. I know they're not resting on their laurels at all. But I do tend to give the slight edge to Auburn because they went out and shot a million under at Mirabel out in Scottsdale and then against a much tougher field kind of flexed their muscles again. So, impressive.
And you referenced the Hogan Collegiate at Shady Oaks this year is their redoing Colonial Country Club. What we all maybe hope to see in May, Vandy, North Carolina coming down the stretch, the Commodores with a one-shot victory, two of the very best teams in the country, playing extremely well. You've got Arizona State third, Oregon makes a bit of a move. They finished fourth. Oklahoma was up there, struggled on the final day. They finished fifth. And then on the back end of things, Texas Tech 13th, Pepperdine 14th. And then TCU was last after almost winning the Valero. So a little bit of everything out of that one.
Yeah, this is the probably a good litmus test, I think, at this point, at least for those following. And I know we've referenced it a million times, but how difficult it is to kind of follow the sport right now just because the information's not centrally located. But this is kind of a good leaderboard to look at to really see kind of who's who and who's better than whom. Vanderbilt, North Carolina at the top. I think a lot of us would agree that Arizona State finishing third, that's probably where they're at in the grand scheme of things. I mean, Oklahoma, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Texas, those are all potential match play teams. Really big week for Oregon and Casey Martin's squad. I think that we need to give them a ton of credit. Big expectations. I think I wrote that this could potentially be Casey's best team since those Eugene Wong and Daniel Miernicki squads back in the early 2010s. But off to a little bit of a bumpy start for the first couple of events, come out, get a fourth place finish. This is big. And then you got to wonder, too, about a team like Pepperdine, where they go 11th, 11th, now 14th. This is a brand new ranking formula that Spike Mark is apparently going to roll out. I'm interested to see it. How much does it value the strength of schedule? Against how much does it value actually finishing in the top half of the tournaments that you play? So I'm very interested to see where Pepperdine's going to slot in. I mean, there could be a situation where you have a team like Pepperdine or Stanford or Texas Tech that are playing these really tough schedules and finishing outside the top 3/4 of the field. There's a potential that maybe the rankings hurt them more than maybe the golf stat rankings did. So that's something that I'm looking out for. But if you're Pepperdine, if you're Texas Tech, even Oklahoma State, which is a young team and hasn't gotten off to the best of starts, I think this is the point of the season where, maybe whatever you were doing for the first few events, maybe you got to change some things. So just try to get a little bit of a spark going and make sure you finish the fall on a good note, because there's nothing worse than going into that winter break and having everyone go their separate directions for a couple months and really feel like, man, I just don't feel like we have it. I don't feel like we're in a good spot. and then you lose them for 2 months. So yeah, a lot to think about.
The past three seasons, you can make the argument collectively, Pepperdine's been as good as anyone over the last 3 years. We love that program, the Cinderella story, if you will. Head coach Michael Beard, I think it's going to be a slog for them this year. I think it's going to be a struggle. Doesn't mean they can't get better, because you touched on the fact they play a really demanding schedule. It's not going to get easier. They can obviously all play, but consider how they spoiled us for 3 years with all that talent. We'll see if that can get turned around by the end of the fall. That's the team aspect of things. We touched on it at the beginning of the show, a playoff individually. Vanderbilt's Cole Sherwood getting the job done over Christo Lamprecht. I'll take a step back as Brentley gets to spend some time with Mr. Sherwood.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
And with that, pleased to welcome in our next guest on College Golf Talk. A couple of weeks ago, as I mentioned, we did have Christo Lamprecht, the Giant from Georgia Tech. Well, this week we have the guy who took down the Giant a couple of days ago at Shady Oaks, Hogan Collegiate, Vanderbilt senior Cole Sherwood. Cole, thanks for coming on. What's it like getting on that first tee or whatever the playoff hole was, 18 tee, and staring down a guy who's 6'9", 6'10", 200 and however many pounds he is? Is it intimidating? And obviously it wasn't too intimidating because you were able to get the job done and get that PGA Tour invite.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Brentley. I think once you get to know Christo, it takes away from the scariness of a guy at 6'8", just an absolute unit. He's a joker. He's a really funny guy, great personality. And so when he's one of your friends, it makes it a lot easier competing against them.
So he's like a big teddy bear. Is that what you're saying?
100% with the short game of a magician.
Now, your third college win, but first since you won the Mason Rudolph Vanderbilt's home event back in spring of 2022. Has it felt like that long? And how did you get the job done this week?
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel that long, you know, with our college golf schedule, time flies by so fast. We're always traveling, always practicing, always working out. And so it really doesn't feel like, you know, over a year and a half ago since the last victory. But it was a great week. You know, the individual part, I really didn't know about until I finished on 18. I knew we were one behind with about three holes to play. Matthew Riedel makes a huge birdie on 18, which is a tough hole. And so I hit a good iron shot and fortunately got a little bit of a read off Luke Potter and made the putt. And I walked off. I asked if we won. They said, yeah, we got North Carolina by a shot. And, oh, yeah, you're individually tied for the lead, which I thought was crazy. I knew it was playing tough the last day, but I really didn't think 7-under had a chance to win.
Is that something that you and your teammates kind of talk about? Because I know we do just as people who cover the sport, but when you're in a tournament playing against a North Carolina, who a lot of people consider the both of your teams, along with Vanderbilt, along with Arizona State, even as, you know, who's the best in college golf right now. Is that something you guys maybe talk about and maybe it means a little bit extra when you find yourself down the stretch, kind of nose to nose with a team like North Carolina?
For sure. Yeah. The Ben Hogan Collegiate had, I think, 14 of the top 20 teams and a lot of great teams. Like you said, North Carolina, Arizona State, Florida State. These are all teams we're going to see at nationals. And, you know, every opportunity you have to make a statement, you want to take the opportunity to show them who we are, the kind of game we play. And it's not every week we get to compete against the best teams in the country.
Yeah, so your wins in college, I mentioned the Mason Rudolph. You obviously beat a stacked field this week. You won Cabo, which is one of the best tournaments year in and year out in terms of strength of field. But why was this one in particular maybe especially important? Just considering, you know, maybe the spring that you had last year and the summer of not getting picked for the Walker Cup. Did you feel like this win this week was, you know, maybe more meaningful from a confidence or a momentum standpoint than any of the past ones?
For sure, yeah. There's been a lot that's been put in to different parts of my game since sophomore year. I would say my first 2 years, I relied on my ball striking a lot. And I knew in order to play on the PGA Tour, my short game has to get a lot better. And so I made that a focus over last year, and my ball striking kind of slipped. I think just spending a lot of time on a short game and kind of forgetting that my ball striking is my strength. And so it was nice to see that my ball striking came back. And then all the time I put in my short game, I got a lot of help from Josh Gregory and then my swing coach, Buck Marriage. They've kind of kept me online. And so it was great to see that the two, the swing and the short game, kind of clicked. And so a lot of that work and changes are kind of starting to show off in the scores.
Yeah, we've seen some of the best players in the world, you know, when that kind of stuff happens. Jordan Spieth comes to mind. When you start working on maybe a deficiency in your game, you know, some of that time spent on maybe your craft and what you're really good at slips a little bit. But is there something that you unlocked to get the ball striking back? I mean, what was the key, if you could maybe sum it up?
I think a lot of it is just confidence. I'm not really a technical guy, and I didn't hit it great last spring. I hit it better this summer, and really last week at the SEC preview in Birmingham, I played great the last two rounds, and I think I just more of a belief in myself that the only thing holding me back is myself, not my short game, not my swing. And if I can believe that I can compete against these guys, then I know I could. It's just not always easy to get your mind to that position where you believe in yourself after having a few bad tournaments.
So the PGA Tour exemption that you get for winning this event is into the Charles Schwab Challenge next year at Colonial. The dates overlap with the NCAA Championship. So I'm going to put this out there. Colonial, the tournament organizers, they need to have a 2025 invite ready for you. But assuming that that's the case, assuming that you do get to tee it up on the PGA Tour, what are you looking forward to most about getting out there with the big boys?
Oh, it'd be so exciting. For me, especially growing up in Texas, the Charles Schwab was a tournament that I always made an effort to watch. And then it's always obviously been a dream to play on the PGA Tour and just play alongside those top guys and get to learn from what they do. And next year is obviously beginning of being a professional, and I have so much to learn. And so being able to jump in right away with the big dogs on the tour would be a great opportunity to learn from what they do and kind of how they have such long-standing success.
So a lot of the best players in the world that we watched last year or last week at the Ryder Cup, a lot of them played in the Walker Cup, and a lot of them can relate to the type of pressure that you guys as top amateurs are under to make this team. Can you just describe what it was like the last 12 months and from playing in the practice session to, you know, trying to make sure that you're building your resume to make that team? What's it like going through that? And can you compare that pressure to anything else that you've faced before?
Yeah, I think it's difficult because it is such a prolonged experience. Or you play that practice session in December, you get some shirts with Walker Cup on it, and you really feel like you're part of the team without really earning your spot.
And did you wear those shirts at all? Like, or did you want to hold on to them until you made the team?
I want to hold on to them practice session, but I feel like you need to earn things like that, and I hadn't earned it yet. And so, you know, you have the whole spring and you're focused on team golf, but it's always lingering. When you're practicing, it's lingering. And to a certain extent, it was just almost relieving. Even though I wasn't selected, it kind of frees you up. You know, I worked so hard to make it, and I really wanted to. But at the end of the day, it's out of my control. And so it's nice to kind of move on. And it definitely is a weight off my shoulders. And I really, really want to be a part of that team. And I'm really proud of how they competed overseas. And it's an amazing team. But you have to earn the right to be on that team. And I didn't do what it took to be on the team. So it's simple. It's the truth. And it's difficult to take. But, you know, looking back, it's going to make me a better player.
So your teammate Gordon Sargent went 4-0 at St. Andrews. You look at your guys' roster at Vanderbilt with you and William Mall and Matthew Riedel, all of them back. Gordon Sargent at the top, Wells Williams, Jackson Van Paris has kind of, I don't want to say revived his career because I don't know if he necessarily went anywhere, but playing some of the best golf that he's played in college, no doubt. I mean, you guys are loaded top to bottom. But if you go back to late May at Greyhawk, you guys don't make the top eight. You don't even get a chance to compete for an NCAA title via match play. What's the balance like in terms of using that as motivation? Because, I mean, you only have to go back to 2 years ago to look at what Texas did from missing the 54-hole cut, and then they win it all the very next year. But what's the balance of using that as fuel, but then also kind of wiping the slate and not really dwelling on, you know, past failure?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely helps us to know that only one team walks away happy. For the team that we had, we thought we had the talent to win, and it was a matter of performing, and we simply didn't perform. I don't think we walked away any more frustrated than the year before when we made the semis. And so one team walks away at the top, and we didn't do what it took to win. We weren't doing the little things right. We were getting a little bit greedy. Leading up to the tournament, we could have tightened our routines a little bit, been a little bit more focused on playing at elevation, controlling our ball flights. And, you know, even if we didn't make match play, it's possible we would have won. But, you know, there's a lot of things leading up to it we need to do better. And like you said, you learn from what you did, but you also wiped the slate clean. Like, we know that we're a better team than how we performed last year. And this year's a new opportunity to make a statement for four of us graduate.
So we've seen what Coach Limbaugh does in moments of celebration. Yeah, he's very high energy. But what's he like in the moments after, you know, kind of the disappointment at Greyhawk? Like what does he say to you guys on the way back to school or, you know, leaving the course that, you know, that evening? I mean, is he quiet? Is he motivating? Kind of give us a look behind the curtain.
Yeah, I think we're all, I guess, kind of surprised leaving Greyhawk. The way coach is he's going to blame himself. It's all his fault. He failed us as a coach. And we all know that's not the case. He did everything he could to give us a chance to be successful. And he's very good at keeping us right in the middle, where we're never too high or too low. He humbles us when we're up. He picks us up when we're down. And so we're not getting, you know, any sort of tough love from him after that. It's just always, hey, guys, like, did do our job. And we all expect to do better, and we didn't. But it's just sometimes doesn't go our way. And we have another opportunity this year to make a statement and get back what we left out there last year.
So you said tough love sometimes from Coach Limbaugh. What does he say to you this Tuesday night after you win a big event at Colonial?
Coach is really big on how we finish and body language and effort, things you can control. You can't control if your ball lips out from 40 feet for us to lose or hits a tree and goes in the hazard, but you can't control how you react to things that happen like that. And he loves that we finished last week. We're all excited. Obviously, going head-to-head against North Carolina and coming down the stretch, they were in the house. We knew what we had to get to win. And, you know, he gets pumped up when we come away with victories like that. Just not only that they're a great team, but the fact that we were behind and we got the job done under pressure. And so he was excited. We're all excited. But we were back in the gym at 6 a.m. this morning, and everything resets.
I can just imagine Limbaugh showing up doing some. Does he work out with you guys? Is he like doing box jumps and lifting metal into the air?
100%. And he lives about 30 minutes away, so he's up at, you know, 4:15 every morning getting ready for workouts.
Can you give us a tiny Coach Limbaugh impression? Because a lot I've heard a lot over the years, and I want to kind of see how yours stacks up.
Oh, it's going to be bad. We had a talk this morning, and he goes, boys, it's all the little things. It's saying thank you to the cart guys, filling your divots. It's when you go get food, you say, yes, ma'am. You sign the bill. You walk out there. You say thank you to the guys cleaning your clubs. When you drop off the carts, you clean up your trash. It's all what we do. The little things are like the most important. I mean, it's just
you have to kind of deliver it more like this. You know, Cole, it's just the little things that we got to do to try to accomplish the big things. You know, so that's kind of a little bit of a snippet. But
yeah.
How was that? Was that good?
Driver off the deck? You kidding me? It's a fourth hole of tournament and driver off the deck? Like, I mean, like, what are you doing?
Right. Well, so I went on Vanderbilt's roster, and I click on your profile, and in the top, the very top of the profile, there's a link to your open doors. And so I click on it, and for $1,200, I can get you to attend a practice or an event. Now, I just got to know, first off, where should we send the invoice for this podcast? And then secondly, I also clicked on Gordon Sargent's, and he only charges $1,000. So I think this most recent victory may have put you over the top in terms of demand.
I have no idea what that is or where these numbers come from, but the fact that someone put $1,200 for me and $1,000 for Gordon is quite the compliment.
Yeah, I know. Well, hopefully, sorry to burst your bubble, but this is a free, you know, free podcast. So
I hope no one's going to show up to an event.
I mean, who knows? I mean, it could be a good side gig for you,
for sure.
These next few months. But so how has college golf changed for you, maybe in the NIL sphere, other than not knowing that there's an open doors link on your profile?
It doesn't change much. I think for us, we're not huge entertainers like football, baseball, basketball are. There's not many people paying $1,000 to watch us courtside. And I think more than anything, it opens a window for us to make long-term relationships with certain banks or industries or companies that we would possibly do long-term deals with. And I think it's great just kind of getting your foot in the door now, because when you're graduating, it's obviously a lot, as you know, from going playing nationals, playing tour events the next week, trying to figure out what clubs you play, what clothes you wear, what logos on your hat. And so I think it's a good thing in that aspect, even though I don't think there's a ton of money in NIL golf, as far as I know. I think it's good just kind of building those relationships for long term when there is more money at play.
Yeah, because it used to be you used to see guys maybe take a drop off in performance that last semester of their senior year because they're trying new clubs, they're, you know, fielding meetings from different agencies, things like that. Do you feel like this has allowed you to maybe get a head start on all that? And where are you in that whole process of having things lined up for when you do turn pro next summer?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm a little bit different in that I don't really see a need to switch in a lot of things. When I turn pro, golf's a priority. I'm not going to be going out trying a bunch of different clubs or different clothes for the money. I am going to play whatever clubs are best for me. I'm going to wear clothes that I'm comfortable in. If someone wants to put a logo on clothes, that's great. But I think it can be a lot more of a distraction than it is helpful. It definitely helps having a little bit of a financial background when you turn pro to be able to afford your travel. But as long as I have enough to pay for travel and tournament expenses, I really don't want to get too in the weeds with trying different things and changing things up that can ultimately do more harm than good.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of travel, I did reach out to your dad a couple hours ago and asked him for some question ideas and some topics. And one of the questions he said I should ask is your favorite places in the world to travel to. Are you much of a world traveler? I didn't know this.
I guess so. My parents really love traveling. They traveled a bunch when they were young, and they've taken my brother and I to some cool places. And there's been a few I felt very unsafe. The question of why are we on this side of the country instead of the big city? I think Bali, Indonesia was a cool spot. I got pickpocketed by a monkey, probably like 50 cents. So that's
how old were you?
Probably 7 or 8.
And you got pickpocketed by a monkey. What was he wearing? Like a circus outfit, like we've seen in the movies? Or did he ride a little motorcycle?
It was a place called Monkey Forest. So monkeys everywhere. Okay. And I think they're trained by the master monkey to go pickpocket and bring back to the monkey kingdom where they live.
Wow, this is something I definitely didn't know, but I'm very intrigued by this. It sounds like an interesting spot. Any other places? Because I just got back from Rome, and I thought it was pretty neat to see structures and just aspects that are, you know, centuries and centuries old, like just stuff that you can't even fathom, living in the States and knowing that stuff, like the Colosseum, is infinitely exponentially older than everything else. Any good European spots that you've been, or?
I thought Turkey was really cool with the history. But this summer we spent a week in Italy, and that was amazing, being in Venice and just seeing the way of life. You walk everywhere, you take boats, the food's great, and it's a little bit touristy at spots, but it's so unique compared to anywhere in the US. And that was just special.
This is going to prepare you so well for turning pro when you're traveling to, you know, Jackson, Mississippi, and Noblesville, Indiana, and different things like that. I've also heard that you're somewhat of a master chef. Do you have some dishes that you're really good at making, and or anything that you enjoy making?
I would say I'm a Trader Joe's connoisseur. I'm really good at getting the frozen bags of food and heating them up.
Oh, come on. That's not being a master chef.
I like to cook. You know, when you're in school and you're at Vandy, the time is a little bit scarce to just cook freely like that. I love Mexican food. I could eat it every meal. And so taco night at the Sherwoods is quite an endeavor. Fresh tortillas, we cook the meat, we make a bunch of different salsas. It's a full deal. It's about a 5 hours that goes into it, but it's a pretty special night.
That's why you won Cabo then, because you felt right at home with the taco bar that BA sets up for you guys every year.
I think I kept track of my yardage book. I ate 28 tacos during the tournament, during 3 rounds.
Are we talking street tacos or bigger?
Street tacos, yeah. The big ones, that'd be a lot, but it was mostly 3 before I teed off and 3 every time I passed the taco truck.
Jeez, I think Limbaugh needs to get the taco truck at to every event.
He does.
And so a couple more for you. I was told to ask you worst summer camp that you ever went to? That was the first question. His first summer or worst summer camp.
Goodness. I don't know. Did I do something bad? I'm sure.
I don't know. Something about like a Spanish, French language summer
camp. No, I wasn't well liked there. I was a pretty problematic child, and I'm sure my mom putting me in a foreign language summer camp wasn't the best idea. When I was about six, just like the middle school I went to, got kicked out and not invited back.
So this kind of segues, I guess, into why your dad asked me to ask you what your kindergarten teacher would say about you.
She'd probably be shocked I'm still alive.
Why's that?
That was a problem. My mom's bookshelf was full of how to raise my special kid, and they didn't know what to do with me. I was always biting kids and throwing stuff, and I just want to play catch, and I guess there were no footballs around, so I used chairs sometimes and desks, just trying to toss it around.
So have you ever seen the movie Problem Child? It's a really old movie. It's this little red-haired kid, and they made a couple sequels that weren't as good as the original, but that's kind of what I'm being reminded of. It's like an early 90s movie. But so when did you go from being Problem Child to now? Because at least from the outside, and I'm sure if I talk to Limbaugh, he might say something different, but you seem like the consummate teammate and employer and student athlete.
Appreciate it. I went to a private middle school for 1 year because I just was not doing great at school, I guess. And I was removed from the school after a year. I just wasn't invited back for seventh grade, but I learned a lot about organization, and it's very much a, you follow every little detail, you dot your I's, cross your T's as well as you can. And I think I learned a lot there from just a time management perspective on getting all your assignments finished, doing everything at a high level. And so when I came back to join my friends at public school in seventh grade, I was slightly ahead in school. And so it kind of helped me learn a lot of good things in middle school. And then high school, I had a great group of guys. I had an amazing high school coach. And so I probably matured a little bit playing for Coach Warnke.
Well, Cole, appreciate the time as always. We'll see you next in St. Andrews. Is that correct? In a couple weeks?
Yeah, we're pumped to go.
Yeah, St. Andrews Collegiate, inaugural St. Andrews Collegiate in a couple weeks' time on Golf Channel this coming week, Jackson T. Stevens Cup as well. So a lot of great golf on our airways and a lot of great golfers that we have the privilege of covering. So, Cole, good luck at the Home of Golf. They don't have Mexican food at the Dunvegan, and I didn't really find any decent Mexican food out there. So you're going to have to maybe do without. But again, appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the fall, and hope to see you soon.
Thanks for having me on, Brantley.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot, and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.